Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to take a deep dive into a case that, well, it might seem a little dry at first glance.
Yeah, it's not exactly the most headline-grabbing topic.
But stick with us, because United States v. Container Corporation of America, we're talking cardboard boxes here, actually have a lot to say about how businesses operate today. Especially, you know, with all the data flying around.
Right. This 1969 Supreme Court decision, it really gets to the heart of what competition means in a market and how even subtle actions can have some pretty big antitrust implications.
Think of it this way. You're prepping for a big meeting, right? Antitrust law is on the agenda. Everyone's kind of nervous.
Been there.
And someone brings up Container Court. Suddenly, all eyes are on you. So let's break this case down. We got 18 companies. They make corrugated containers.
Basically, cardboard boxes.
And they control a huge chunk of the market, something like 90% in the southeastern U.S. Now, here's the thing. They were sharing pricing information.
Which, on the surface, might not seem like a big deal.
Right. And prices were actually going down. So where's the harm? What's the problem?
Well, that's where things get interesting. The issue wasn't about high prices. It was about how those lower prices were happening. Like, was it real competition driving them down? Or was something else going on?
So it's not about the number on the price tag, but about who's really in control. Kind of like if a group of restaurants in a small town all decided to share their menu prices.
Exactly. That's a great analogy. It might seem harmless, even transparent, but is it really fair competition? The court didn't think so. In Container Corp, they saw this information exchange as a way for these companies to, well, kind of manipulate the market.
Okay, so even if prices are going down, if it's because of some hidden cooperation and not actual competition, that's a red flag. But these manufacturers weren't meeting in smoky back rooms making secret deals. Right. I mean, how did the court actually prove there was some kind of, like, agreement to violate antitrust law?
Right. That's where the idea of a tacit agreement comes in. It's not a written contract. It's more like, you know, an understanding, a wink and a nod. The court argued that just by constantly sharing this pricing info, especially in such a tight market, they were basically signaling to each other, let's keep things stable. Let's not rock the boat.
So no secret handshake, but the court still saw a pattern of behavior that just smelled like, well, anti-competitive.
And they pointed to specific instances where, like, right after one company shared its price, others would quickly adjust theirs to match. It wasn't just a coincidence. It was a way to maintain a certain price structure. And the court said, nope, that's not how a truly competitive market works.
So even without a formal agreement, this constant information exchange, in the court's eyes, was enough to stifle real competition. And this is where it gets really interesting, especially today. I mean, back then, they were talking about phone calls and price lists. But today, we've got algorithms, instant data sharing. It's a whole different landscape.
Right. Think about how much data companies have access to now. It's not just prices. It's consumer preferences, competitor strategies, all sorts of stuff. The sheer volume of information is mind-blowing.
Exactly. So you could something similar to Container Corp. be happening in markets that seem, you know, less concentrated on the surface, just because of the sheer volume of data available?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's something legal experts are grappling with right now. I mean, the principles of Container Corp, they're from a pre-digital era, but they still have huge implications for how we think about competition in the age of big data.
It's like the technology's changed, but the core issue hasn't. Okay, but before we go too far down that rabbit hole, let's back up for a second. I mean, we've been talking about the court's decision, but were there any dissenting opinions? Did all the justices agree on this tacit agreement idea?
Not entirely. Two justices had some reservations, even though they ended up agreeing with the majority in the end. Justice Fortas, for example, he wasn't so sure about applying a strict per se rule to this kind of conduct. He thought you needed to actually prove price matching was happening to show there were, you know, anti-competitive effects.
So, like, just sharing information wasn't enough for him?
Right. He was more focused on the actual outcome, not just the potential for it. And then there was Justice Marshall. He dissented outright. He argued that the government didn't actually prove that competition was being harmed.
So even the dissenters, they were still kind of wary of this whole information sharing thing, especially in a concentrated market. It's not like they were giving these companies a free pass or anything. But okay, hold on a second. If just exchanging information could be an antitrust violation, doesn't that make things really tricky for businesses? I mean, where do you draw the line?
That's the thing. It's a blurry line, and it's getting blurrier all the time. Like, what about all those price comparison websites? Are they facilitating tacit agreements? And what about algorithms that automatically adjust prices based on competitor data? It's a whole new world.
Okay, now I'm getting a little nervous. It sounds like even without any bad intentions, companies could accidentally stumble into antitrust territory. Can you give me some real-world examples of how data sharing could be anti-competitive today?
Sure. Think about two online retailers. They're competitors, right? And they both use algorithms that track each other's prices and adjust their own accordingly. Now, on the surface, that might seem like, you know, just smart business. But what if those algorithms start to create a virtual price floor or ceiling? What if they prevent any real price competition from happening?
It's like those algorithms are having their own secret tacit agreement without any human involvement. That's kind of freaky. But isn't some information sharing necessary for industries to, like, function efficiently? I'm thinking about healthcare, for example. Sharing data about research or patient outcomes, that can lead to breakthroughs, right?
Absolutely. There are definitely legitimate reasons for companies to share information. The challenge is finding that balance. Where does data sharing benefit consumers and innovation without stifling competition? It's a tough question.
So if I'm in a meeting and someone suggests sharing pricing data with competitors, should I just, like, run for the hills? Seriously, how can businesses stay on the right side of antitrust law in this crazy data-driven world?
I wouldn't say run for the hills just yet, but definitely proceed with caution. The first step is awareness. Companies need to understand the potential risks associated with data sharing and algorithmic pricing. You can't just ignore the issue and hope for the best.
So ignorance is bliss is not a good legal strategy. Got it.
Definitely not. Courts are getting much smarter about how data can be used to manipulate competition. Companies need to be proactive. They need to assess their data sharing practices, their pricing algorithms, identify any red flags. And if they find any, well, they need to mitigate them, maybe by limiting data sharing, tweaking their algorithms, or even consulting with antitrust experts.
So basically, better safe than sorry is the new motto when it comes to dating and antitrust. But hold on, we were talking about the dissenting opinions. How does Justice Fortas's hesitation with this strict per se rule about information exchange, how does that affect businesses today?
It's a good point. His concern highlights how complex this whole issue really is. It means companies can't just assume that all information sharing is automatically illegal. It depends on the context, what kind of information, what's the market structure, what's the potential impact on competition. Those are all crucial questions.
It sounds like even with the dissent, Container Corp has created a legal landscape where businesses need to be extra careful about how they use data. But let's zoom out for a second. What's the big picture takeaway here? Why should our listener, who's probably cramming for that big antitrust meeting, care about a cardboard box case from like 50 years ago?
Because Container Corp shows us that antitrust law, it's not static. It evolves. It adapts to new technologies, new market realities. What might have seemed like an open and shut case back in 1969, it can be incredibly nuanced today. Especially in the digital world.
So even though the tech is different, those core principles of fair competition, they still apply. It's about protecting the integrity of the market.
Exactly. And that's why understanding Container Corp is so important. It forces us to ask those touch questions about how seemingly harmless actions like sharing information can have unintended consequences for competition and for consumers.
Okay, so as we wrap up our deep dive into United States v. Container Corporation, let's bring it all home for our listeners out there. You know, if you're prepping for that antitrust showdown, what are the big takeaways here, the need-to-know stuff?
Well, first off, I think Container Corp, it really set a precedent. It showed that even just sharing information, it can be a violation of antitrust law, especially, you know, when you've got a concentrated market. It's not just about, you know, those classic price fixing conspiracies anymore. Courts are looking at the impact on competition, even if there's no smoking gun.
So you can't just say, oh, but we didn't mean to stifle competition. It's about the actual effect on the market, right?
Right, exactly. Intent matters, sure. But it's not the only thing. And the second big takeaway, and this is huge today, is that the digital age, well, it's basically multiplied the potential for anti-competitive behavior, you know, through data sharing, algorithms, all of that. Container Corp might be a case from way back when, but it's incredibly relevant to how we think about competition today.
Okay, yeah, it's like knowledge is power, but it can also be a liability if it's used to, you know, to mess with competition. Anything else our listeners should keep in mind as they head into that meeting? Any last-minute advice?
I think the most important thing is to be proactive, really. Companies, they need to look at their data sharing practices, their pricing strategies, make sure they're not, you know, accidentally wandering into antitrust territory. Because ignorance, well, it's not a defense in court.
So think before you hit send on that spreadsheet full of, you know, sensitive data. What's the final thought you want to leave our listener with?
Antitrust law, it's always evolving. It has to keep pace with how we do business, right? And cases like Container Corp, they remind us that we need to be vigilant about protecting competition, even as technology gives us all these new tools and opportunities.
Well said. United States v. Container Corporation, it might be about cardboard boxes, but it has some seriously important lessons for anyone doing business today. You know, it reminds us that antitrust law, it's not just about preventing monopolies. It's about it's about making sure the market is fair, a dynamic marketplace where everyone has a chance.
Absolutely. It's about protecting the heart of competition, even in the digital age.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into United States v. Container Corporation. Until next time, stay sharp, stay informed, and most importantly, stay competitive.